Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning is recorded in the 17th chapter of 1 Kings, beginning verse 17. Now it happened after these things that the son of woman who owned the house became sick, and his sickness was so serious that there was no breath left in him. So she said to Elijah, "What have I to do with you, O man of God? Have you come to me to bring my sin to remembrance and to kill my son?" And he said to her, "Give me your son." So he took him out of her arms and carried him to the upper room where he was staying and laid him on his own bed. Then he cried out to the Lord and said, "O Lord, my God, have you also brought tragedy on the widow with whom I lodge by killing her son?" And he stretched himself out on the child three times and cried out to the Lord and said, "O Lord, my God, I pray, let this child's soul come back to him." Then the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came back to him, and he revived. And Elijah took the child and brought him down from the upper room in the house and gave him to his mother. And Elijah said, "See, your son lives." Then the woman said to Elijah, "Now by this I know you are a man of God, and that the word of the Lord is in your mouth is the truth. Sanctify us by truth. Your word is truth." Amen. Please be seated. There are times in life when death is acceptable and even welcomed, and when everything decays and nothing works in our bodies. We can accept it, we can swallow it, and we can even ask for it. But this is not the case when death comes to someone young, full of energy and life. When we're young, we don't think of death. We don't take it seriously. It's too early to die. Just old people die. This is our perspective on death when we are too young to think about it. But God, in this text we have today, is going to change our perspective by turning our death, by turning our spiritual and physical death into life in Christ. The background of this text starts when King Ahaz was the king of Judah, who reigned around 732 BC, started worshiping different gods in addition to the only God of Israel. So God had Elijah declare drought on his country. Then God sent Elijah to of hiding, and Elijah ended up in the brook, and ravens provided food for him daily. Then he ran out of water, so God told Elijah to go to Zarephath in Phoenicia and stay with a widow woman. Phoenicia is a very important location for Baal worship. It was the birthplace of King Ahab's wife, Jezebel. And Zarephath in Hebrew means this melting place, where they used to use a furnace to produce iron by heating the ore until the iron separates from the dross. So God is using this location, Zarephath, to refine Elijah and change his life in the future. And living with a Gentile woman, this is the last source of provision when an old or a widow woman can provide in time of poverty and drought. But God had a plan for Elijah and the woman and the son by making a miracle. So her jar of oil and jug of flour never became empty. So the woman felt very good about herself. You know, I have the man of God with me, and I have food and have everything I need. So no more tragedies will strike me anymore. And suddenly her son died. Then there was a change of plans. This tragedy put Elijah and the woman in a situation asking for explanation. What kind of man of God who just saves the widow and her son from starvation only to die from illness? Is Elijah the man of God and his God are powerless, regardless of all the miraculous oil generation, or Probably Elijah was the man of a wicked or cruel God. Woman concluded that, or she might have started thinking about it, so she thought like she knew the reason why her son died. She turned inward and she thought, Elijah is the man of God who came here just to find out about my sins and report it to God, so God is punishing me for my sins now. That's what she thought. But we know God is using our pain and tragedies and sufferings to refine us and test us. And Jesus even corrected his disciples when they thought if somebody's crippled, either he sinned or his parents sinned when he said in John chapter 9, verse 3, it was neither that this man sinned nor his parents, but it was so that the works of God might be displayed in him. And we are like this widow when we are tempted, when we have tragedies and we go through pain. We cry out to the Lord and say, why, Lord, why are you doing that to me? Why me? When we are in pain, we strike out instead of look up to God and ask for help and support. When we're offended, we strike back instead of going to God and ask for help and ask for mercy to go through this tragedy we have. Are you going through tragedies and pain? Could it be that the works of God might be maybe displayed in you? Could it be that God is refining and testing you? Don't assume that you know what God is doing. A lot of us, and most of us, when we go through tragedies, we jump to conclusions. We jump to wrong conclusions. We think bad things shouldn't happen to good people. That's always the conclusion we reach to when we go through tragedies. If we assume that the bad things is the result of sins we do, then the other conclusion should be that good things is the result of something good we do. In this case, bad things shouldn't happen to good people, and only good things should happen to good people. And again, Jesus corrected these things in Matthew chapter 5, verse 45, when he said, he makes the sun rise on both the evil and the good, and sends rain on both the righteousness and unrighteousness. But we have grace in the midst of it. That's the difference. I like Elijah's reaction to this woman. Elijah didn't say, you know, woman, let me explain to you more about God. Let me minister to you. Let me tell you something. God is taking care of you. God will watch over you. No, he didn't say anything. He said, just give me your son. He took her son. Although she was overwhelmed with sadness, she let her lifeless son go. So Elijah took her son and went upstairs where he used to pray and stay and start praying to God. This is the reaction God is asking us to have when we are in pain and tragedy. He wants to pray for him. He wants us to ask him for help. He wants us to pray confidently in faith. We cannot have a relationship with God if we don't listen to his words. We cannot have a relationship with God if we don't tune our hearts to his promises and his word. And Elijah prayed to God and asked God to raise the sun, and God listened. Quite interesting. Elijah was listening to God all the time, the whole chapter. Go declare drought, Elijah listened. Go to the brook, Elijah listened. Go to the widow woman, Elijah listened. And God is here, said, God listened to Elijah this time and raised this son. Shows us that God is not just more powerful than Baal itself, but God is more powerful than death itself. Actually, this is the first instance in the whole scripture of life being restored to someone dead. And this is the foretaste of Jesus' power over death when, by raising another widow woman in Luke chapter 7, verse 11. God has purpose in our pain. God had purpose in Elijah's pain. God clearly showed us his love for us and his will to save us by sending his only son to be human being, live with us as one of us, to eat with sinners, heal the sick, raise dead people. And he who was God was forsaken by God for our sins. Like the prophetic act of Elijah, stretching out his hands and his body over the dead corpse or the corpse of the widow's son, Jesus stretched his hands over our sins on the cross to remove them by his suffering on the cross. His death means we will live forever for him. And his resurrection means that we will have hope to rise with him one day. It means that he has power over death itself. When it comes to tragedies and suffering, our perspective is so limited. We're just thinking of we're able to see things just only at this moment of life. We cannot predict the future, but there's a bigger picture. And this widow was able to understand this bigger picture when Elijah gave her son back alive. She said, "You are the true man of God." Because there's no false prophet can raise dead. Anyone can kill, but only God can give life. She knew that very well. And God's work wasn't just done by raising her son, but by strengthening her faith in God himself. And you and me start wondering when we have death in our life and suffering, can I find another Elijah? Where is he? Can he help me? Can he do something? Is it even possible to do that? How can we do that? Because we know the only rescue from death is raising from death itself. The only comfort for this woman was giving her son back alive. The only comfort for us as a Christian when we die is having our dead bodies back alive. Is it even possible? Is there a way for that? That's really hard to think about. But Paul said in Romans 6:4, "We are therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from death through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life." Paul's saying in our baptism we have new life, we are new creation, swimming in grace. We are born again. Our flesh is experiencing the first resurrection. And we have the foretaste of the second resurrection in the judgment day. What a beautiful picture we have here. So brothers and sisters, I encourage you to discipline yourself and have time for prayers. Listen to God's words. Find a quiet place. Be honest with God about your fears and struggles. And let God lead you in your daily life through his word. Remember that only God's word can raise spiritually dead person. God didn't just give us oil and flour like the widow woman, but he give us even more. He give us his blood and body so we can strengthen our faith and live in faith till we meet him face to face. So just like the widow woman who placed all her burdens in Elijah's hands, place all your burdens in Jesus' hands who are stretched on the cross for our sins, the new Elijah. You can see what he did on the cross and the empty tomb for us. And how can we reply and answer when struggles strike us? We may reply and answer with prayers and faith. Amen. And we stand for prayers. God, the strength of all who trust in you, mercifully hear our prayers. Be gracious to us in our weakness and give us strength to keep your commandments in all we say and do. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.